I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
I don't think you have to make a desperation move, but if he can get something done that makes sense, I don't think that's off the table.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Krause. That's my co-host, Johnny Mack, John McMullen. A Tuesday edition and some breaking news happening around Eagle Land today. Johnny Mack, how you doing this Tuesday morning, brother?
Doing well. Happy BG Day. Brandon Graham officially will be back announcing that this morning at some point. BG will do it himself, but, everybody knows it's a done deal, so stick here, Birds 365. I mean, you're going to get some substance over here, but it's good to see, you know, BG back just from the standpoint of, you know, literally the best guy I've ever covered. So from that standpoint, just having, and I remember that Nick Sirianni quote, every workplace needs a Brandon Graham. Every workplace could use a Brandon Graham. So yeah. Just from the aspect, even before you get to football, just a good dude. Everybody likes, just one of those people that lights up a room. So it's a positive. And he can still play as he showed last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this Eagles workplace is a guy that can use a Brandon Graham right now. John, I want to put that to the side though, to start here on the show and just kind of talk football with Brandon Graham. Last year, John, I pulled it last night. I put it up on Twitter. He had 324 snaps last year, 79.3 PFF grade. Take of that what you will. He had 4 sacks and 21 pressures. He played in 13 football games last year, and he was the number 20 ranked edge rusher in all of the ranked edge rushers, and it was over 200 of them. So, again, you know, an upper echelon type of player when he did play last year. I understand it was limited snaps, but I do have a sense of confidence, John, that BG can provide something for this team. Now, obviously, he's coming off a big injury, and I understand that can impact play, but I do feel a sense of optimism that BG can provide something for this team on the football field. I'm not talking about leadership because I think he obviously provides that, but how do you feel about the football element of adding Brandon Graham to the Eagles?
Well, can't hurt. I'll tell you that. When Azeez Ojulari goes down to with a hamstring injury, I mean, last week it was Jalix Hunt, Josh Uche, Patrick Johnson, and that was it. Because you're talking about multiple injuries. Nolan Smith on injured reserve. Oboe is done for the season. So you were already up against it. Then you suffer another injury. They did a nice job persevering. Obviously, Jalix Hunt got a lot of plaudits for his ability in coverage, and rightfully so, getting the pick six, and that turned out to be obviously a big play. So they did a nice job persevering, but you can see when you say that out loud, Jalix Hunt, Josh Uche, Patrick Johnson, that's not going to work long term. So you need some help. And obviously Nolan's coming back probably after the bye. And then, you know, hopefully you have Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt and Brandon Graham, and you have a more sustainable rotation. I don't think Brandon could play any more than 15 to 20 snaps.
Yeah, I agree.
But is he, are those going to be competent snaps? I see no reason why not. Now, I don't know how much he's been preparing for this. There's been whispers ever since Nolan got hurt. Seems they want this as Darius Smith route, which I also agree with if he didn't retire. And he was performing well. So that's some bad luck. You know, it's difficult to add difference makers at this point of the season. And you add in the fact that you can talk about, and by the way, this doesn't preclude Howie Roseman from doing something before November 4th.
That's going to be a big question, John. There, people are going to be like, well, are they not going to make a move now? I don't know one way or the other.
I don't think you have to make a desperation move. But if he can get something done that makes sense, I don't think that's off the table. And, you know, you've heard some of the names, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips. Obviously, Miami's done, so they should be looking to sell. The Jets are done. They should be looking to sell. Doesn't mean they will. This stuff isn't easy. It's always a two-way street. You can get players like that. You know, maybe it'd be worth bringing in. But again, the second part I bring up all the time, football is not baseball. It's not basketball. It's not plug and play. And Brandon knows the system, knows Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio trusts him. You know, that was one of my best predictions last year. I said, as soon as Vic Fangio sees Brandon Graham, he's going to play more than people expect. And that's exactly how it was going.
Yep.
Until he got hurt against the Rams with the tricep. So. He loves him. And then, you know, we'll talk to Brandon probably Wednesday. You know, you gotta find out how he's been keeping in shape and all those things. So does he need a ramp up?
Yeah. How much weight did he lose? Like stuff like that.
Exactly.
Immediately comes into the physical nature of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you always got the feeling he wanted to continue playing. He said that publicly, but,
right.
You know, and sometimes you got to tear off the Band-Aid as a franchise and say, well, we got to go, but it hasn't worked. Their plan hasn't worked and hampered by, injuries as well. So that's part of it. You know, if Nolan isn't hurt and missing this time, even if if Za'Darius doesn't retire, this probably doesn't happen. But that's the cards you've been dealt, and it's nice to have that break glass in case of emergency player who can probably give you those 15 to 20 effective snaps.
John, if he does get 15 to 20, let's just use that number for now. How many of those, how do you think they will split that up? Do you think Vic is looking for help for setting the edge and early downs in the run game? Because BG is good at both. I mean, he was good at both all through last year. He played about an equal amount of pass rush snaps and run defense snaps. Where do you see him slotting in? I mean, you could see a world where, hey, let's keep Jalux out there on the pass rush snaps or something like that. How do you see that kind of part of it shaking out for when Brandon Graham will be on the field?
Well, the beauty is he can do both, and he is very good at setting the edge. I think a lot of people look at the Eagles. They've been struggling at least a little bit at times in the run game. But I think that's the strength. That remains the strength of Jalix Hunt more than pass rush at this point. Nolan Smith is a great run defender when he comes back, if he comes back. The assumption, by the way, with Nolan Smith is he's going to be back after the bye. That's the hope, you know, no guarantee. So you have to see where he is, but he's a very good run support player. So
has it been 4 weeks now with Nolan? Has it been four games?
Yes, he'd be eligible to come back in this. They might start his practice window, but he's. I don't think.
And how long is the practice window? 10 days.
21 days.
21 days. 21 days.
So they might, and there's a couple guys as well. Ja'Corian Bennett is also eligible to start his practice window, and Darius Cooper. So all three of those guys, but doesn't mean they're coming back this week. And they might start one, two, they might start all three because they have that that buffer to get them back at practice and get them ramped up. But the you know, behind the scenes, the thought is to wait till after the bye with Nolan and hope that he's back at that point. And I think that's the way it'll go. But he's a very good overall, just from a football standpoint, he's a very good run support player, despite his lack of size. So I don't think it's as simple as, oh, they're going to play him on first down. They're not going to play him on third down. It's more of, you know, keeping the guys fresh, that type of, and he can do both. So that's one of the positives of having a well-rounded edge rusher, which he has been for 15 years, not 15 because he shifted early in his career, but for a very long time. And that's part of what made him the player he became, that he can do both at a high level.
No doubt. John, what do you think of the edge rusher room then? Let's just assume for a second, Nolan's back. You're coming into that Packer game after the bye. I don't want to look too far ahead, but just for the sake of this conversation, you got Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, Uche, Ojulari, and potentially running with more Jihad Campbell at the edge rusher based on what we saw last week. What do you think of that room? Does that make you feel better, John? You've been on this edge rusher room since early in the summer, my friend. Does that make you feel better? Do you think Howie's still shopping the market? How do you kind of gauge that? Because there is some pitchers out there, apparently, that are available via trade.
Yeah, I definitely think, again, it's not going to preclude him from examining all avenues to try to add something. I don't think that precludes that at all. You know, as far as how I feel about it, it's still not great on paper, but you know, it's going to get better when Nolan gets back. But again, you have to see where he is physically. You know, is he pushing it again? You know, he tore the triceps in the Super Bowl. He had that big brace on, and you know, all of a sudden he hurts it again. You know, was the assumption that it's going to be fine? I don't know. Hopefully. You know, Jalix Hunt's getting better and better. I think he'll get some confidence from that last week. So I think that should improve. Josh Uche, I think, has played pretty well this year, but you need to keep him in that sort of range of snap. I don't think you can overdo it with him.
Yeah, agreed.
And then Aziz, who knows? I mean, Aziz might be out if everything works out. So I don't think, you know, in some ways, because I'm such a big N'Kobe Dean person, and he looked very good in his first opportunity last week. I mean, he looked very good.
It's amazing how well he still hits.
In some ways, I just like to throw Jihad into the deep end of the pool and see if he can do it. Like, because that's your upside.
Right.
Your upside is having those three on the field at the same time. N'Kobe Dean, Zach Bond at linebacker, Jihad Campbell on the edge. That, to me, is your upside. This pretty much derails that. I mean, that's the other side of it, at least when Nolan gets back. Like, where are the snaps?
Right, for Campbell.
For Campbell on the edge. They might do it, you know, 5-10 times a game, but not meaningful. And, you know, Bick has said pretty consistently he's not ready for it, so that's probably where it stems from. But sometimes when you're that athletic and you're that gifted and you throw people into the deep end of the pool and say, hey, we need you, go do it, they surprise you and they do it. But that to me would be the best way to go. And that'd be the way I'd go. But, you know, I'll also say I'll give, you know, Vic Fangio the benefit of the doubt. So he doesn't think he's ready.
Yep, we'll see what ends up happening there. BJ will announce his return today at around 9 a.m., I think. Stick here on Birds 365. We'll cover it all for you guys all through the morning. Appreciate everybody being here. Don't forget to hit that like button. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Appreciate everybody for being here, as always. Let's get to 250 likes today on Birds 365. And if you're listening after, drop your comment down below. I always try to read all the comments here on Birds 365. Appreciate everybody for being here. Let's go to the super chat real quick because it does apply to what we're talking about here. Brando says, Howie seems blacklisted right now. No GM wants to get dragged in the media for getting fleeced.
Come on. No, Howie, nobody makes more trades than Howie Roseman. Nobody. He's made a bunch of trades already. Nobody got fleeced. He got fleeced. At least according to Eagles fans. He didn't, by the way. John Spytek, if you want to say, he fleeced him, Thomas Booker for Jacorian Bennett. It's not meaningful. I mean, Thomas has played better. Tank Bigsby, two picks. I mean,
they made him overpay. That's what Brando says. Yeah. They made him overpay for Tank.
Yeah. That's like Jeff Carson. You know, people were making fun of the draft day GM, the Jacksonville GM, Jeff Carson, the new GM down in Jacksonville fleeced him. I don't think that's the case. I'm joking. He wasn't fleeced, but the point is, he's made more trades than anybody else as usual, and he hasn't hit home runs, and nobody's getting destroyed in the media for making deals with Howie Roseman.
No, John. How quick do you think BG will be out there? Like, do you think he'll dress this weekend versus the Giants?
Well, we'll get a better indication when we talk to Vic today. I got to believe, you know, and again, Brandon, on Wednesday, a lot depends on, I don't know what he's been doing. I've seen him occasionally down there. I thought I'd see him more, to be honest. I saw him like two or three times during training camp, but he was doing a lot of other stuff. It wasn't in his head.
Busy, man. He's doing a lot of media hits, and he's done commercials, and he's done a lot of stuff.
He was doing a lot of stuff. You know, he was out in Michigan. I know he was at the Michigan game this weekend. I believe it was this weekend. So I don't know when he started ramping up. So a lot of it, you know, you have to talk with Vic and BG, but I think what the hope would be to get him out there quickly. And the hope would be to get him out there this week, because in theory, you're going to get Nolan back after the bye. So I would think if he's ready, if he's healthy, if we can give him, well, he's healthy, but if he's close to what he has been physically. But one thing I know about NFL players, even if you want to come back and you don't want to retire, and that was the case, I think, with Brandon, You don't stay ready at the optimal level. You know.
It's extremely hard to stay at the optimal
level.
It's a lot of work.
Exactly. So that's to be determined, but I'm sure they'd like to have him out there this week. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know how close Brandon is to being ready. But I do know that Vic will not hesitate from the standpoint of he's got to ramp up with the system. And Vic has kind of made fun of the NFL's stupid rules on acclimation periods. Like, you need an acclimation period in training camp, but you don't need it in the regular season. You can walk off the street and play just like Za'Darius Smith. But Za'Darius was staying ready because he had planned on coming in. So that's up to how Brandon feels, but I'm sure Vic's not going to hesitate to use Brandon Graham.
John, are you hearing any specific names out there that the Eagles might be interested in to trade for? Anybody specific? And then I'll ask you to follow up with just your kind of opinion of how somebody you think would be a good fit. I know you've talked a little bit about it in the past, but now with Brandon Graham here, curious to hear how that might change it.
My plan.
Who they're talking to, or if they're interested in anybody specifically.
My plan, I've already said, is I would use Jahad Campbell on the edge and throw him in the deep end. I think that's the best way forward.
So you think that's better than like a trade for a Jalen Phillips or a Bradley Chubb or somebody like that?
Well, the second would be those guys because they have a history with Vic. Third would be a Jermaine Johnson or somebody like that who has no history. And I wouldn't do that because, again, football is not a plug and play game. Like a baseball, use all the term. You trade for a hitter, you put him in the lineup, and that's it. It's hitter versus pitcher. Vice versa, you trade for a pitcher, you throw him out every 5 days. Either he pitches well or he don't. He doesn't. He's not really inherent on the other teammates to help him or in that matter, or learn a scheme or things like that. Now, obviously, players can commit errors and hurt pitchers and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it's just hitter versus pitcher. So it's very easy to acquire somebody, plug them in, and maybe it works and maybe it doesn't work. Not the same in football. And that's why I would focus more on Chubb and Phillips. Chubb probably first. Even though they both have injury history, I would say his is a little less troubling. He's got more of a history with Vic because he was in Denver with him as well. That's the guy who I think might be able to help more meaningfully. But the assumption that, they want to bail on everybody is something that I think they should do, but it doesn't mean they think they should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like your idea of Campbell at the edge. I don't know if he's, that's a big jump to the deep end.
Well, part of it is getting N'Kobe on the field as well.
Right.
I mean, N'Kobe
looked really like, good last week.
Like to me, like N'Kobe is better than any of these edges we're talking about, but different position. And it's like, what do you, 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 what do you,
line of scrimmage. Boy, Nakobe looked good there, man. It's impressive that, because that was obviously a very big injury, John, that we talked about all offseason, that not everybody recovers from that injury. So it was no guarantee that Nakobe would return and be the same player. So early returns on Nakobe are good. I'm curious to see what they end up doing with Nakobe Dean as well. But that's a later conversation for a later date. Maybe they would sign him in the season if they felt like it was necessary. But we will see what ends up happening. Oh,
no, they're not going to sign him, because I don't know if long term that's the you know, this is it with Nakobe Dean. I think I'm still on that.
Even with the leadership, and even with the, he kind of the anchor of that defense, and he came back.
There's nowhere to play. That's the problem. That's why I want to move Campbell.
Well, what if you drop Campbell on the edge and it works?
Well, that's what I want to do.
Well, and if it works, and then doesn't Dean become more valuable? Well,
I think it's still problematic, but you know, because of his injury history, you would need to get a, you know, team friendly deal. You're paying obviously a lot of money to Zach at that position. So if it's a lot of money, which again, that should be mitigated some way by the injuries. But I mean, you're playing Campbell somewhere, and if it's most likely going to be off ball linebacker, and that blocks everything for Nakobe Dean. They couldn't even pay Oren Burks as a linebacker 3, so at a middling number. Now, if he turns into Micah Parsons, yeah, that's the best case scenario. But you'll never know unless you try it.
I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but you don't want to think about Nakobe in a world after Zach Bond, do you? That's too long-term thinking, isn't it? You're going to have Bond here at least the next 2 seasons. I mean, he's almost 30 is my point. You know, so if you get to a world where, you know, okay, after next season, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to speculate because
First of all, I would be more, because, again, of the injury history. And Zach, you know, didn't play much football in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's true.
So there's probably more on his odometer than people realize. And he doesn't have a history of injuries, where N'Kobe has a significant history and some serious injuries. Liz Frank, torn patellar, those are serious injuries. So I can't, you know, it's not just age. And really, I mean, if you go back to when he was drafted and fell to the third round, there were concerns over degenerative stuff.
Yeah, right.
So
he signed a 3-year extension, and Brandon brings it up. He'd have 2 years left. But if you know the way Eagles work contracts, I'm sure they would have an out. Now, I'm not saying they should move on. I was just speculating it as a way to keep N'Kobe Dean in the room, because I do think, John, N'Kobe Dean's injuries will keep his market value lower than it should be. And maybe that keeps the Eagles in the conversation. You know, if he's not getting buku bucks, maybe the Eagles are like, hey, take a half a mil less and stay with this team. I don't know. Maybe he does that. Maybe he wouldn't. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm obviously not going to speak for N'Kobe or anything like that. And I understand if he wants to make as much money as he can and maximize his potential, but I could see that. I don't know.
Yeah. I just put it this way. The Eagles aren't paying 3 off-ball linebackers.
Yeah, I know that. That's the truth.
So if Jihad's not playing the edge, he's not going to be here.
But they're not. I mean, Jihad's going to be on a rookie deal until Bond's off the books, probably, or at least mostly off the books.
True, but as a first round pick, it's still a little bit
a premium,
versus a mid range pick like Smile Mundon is on, like a really cost effective deal. First round picks still get paid, and he was 31st, so it's not.
Well, Smile Mundon can't do what Jihad Campbell can do.
But the bottom line is, if N'Kobe's not a starter, he's not going to want to be here. And if he's not, that's part of it as well. He's not coming back.
No, but before he came back, we were like, I don't see the world to get him on the field. Jihad's out there. Well, a couple things happened. Boom, N'Kobe's back in that starting spot.
Yeah, and that's why I would – well, he's not. He didn't start at linebacker.
How many snaps did he get in that game?
I think 30.
33 or something, I think I saw.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that, remember, that was affected because Aziz only played 4 snaps before he had to go out. So that impacted it as well. But yeah, I mean, that's why I would, and this even includes BG, who I love to death. My first response would be, throw him in the deep end of the pool and see if he can do it. I've said that pretty consistently. And to be honest, he wasn't great in Minnesota, but I think it's preferable to go that direction. Campbell at edge, I'm talking about. It wasn't great, but you know, at some point that the talent might take over. And he played 31 snaps, N'Kobe, 45%. But just to the point of bringing up long-term plans and things like he's not going to come back as a third linebacker. Like, he wants to be a starting linebacker.
Which makes sense, but I don't know how good the market's going to be for him. I mean, he's got a lot of injuries, you know.
Well, the market might not be great, but he'll get a chance to play somewhere again. And if you get a chance,
Oren Burks got what, $5 million?
If you get a chance, you sign a 1-year prove it deal, prove you're healthy, play well, and then bang, you're back in, you know.
And he's only 24 years old, N'Kobe, and a young guy.
It's just a better opportunity. But the one thing that could change that is if Jihad turns into Micah Parsons, and I'm not saying literally, because he's not going to be that good, but if he turns into a legitimate edge rusher, then you have an opening.
All right, Johnny Mac, let's turn the page a little bit here. I'm going to stay on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll keep it with the potential moves. Do you think there's anywhere else Howie could make a move? Cornerback 2, you think that move is done and dusted? Anywhere else you think Howie would be looking here at the trade deadline or nearing the trade deadline? When exactly is the trade deadline, John? If I'm not mistaken, I think it's two Tuesdays from now.
November 4th.
Yes, I think it's two Tuesdays from now. I think it's 2 weeks from now.
I mean, there's a possibility. I don't like cornerback is. Yeah, that's another, but we're going down. Like, to me, the time is to pull the trigger on Cooper DeJean. That's what they should do. And by that, I mean, and you saw it a little bit against Minnesota, because Minnesota tried to keep them in base as much as possible. So you saw more Cooper outside.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah, he got beat a couple times, but he's much better than Dorey Jackson and Kaylee Ringo.
Got beat by who? Justin Jefferson?
Well, exactly. Addison had a big game as well. Yeah. Thielen got him once, but that was in the slot.
Yeah.
He's just a good player. You saw the play. The play of the day for Cooper was stopping the Jefferson touchdown in the end zone. That's just phenomenal. He caught the ball and he played it exactly as it's taught. You play through the ball, you play through the arms. He's ripping and clawing to the exact mass and the ball comes out. That is phenomenal cornerback play. And he should be the outside corner. And then you don't have to worry about trading for Jacorian Bennett and trading for Tariq Woolen or somebody like that, who people are going to turn on inside of 2 weeks if they made a move like that. Just put them out there. And I think the whole problem, in the rare times I'll disagree with Vic, is that this is another one. Don't make it role specific. Make it matchup specific. And by that, I mean, he can do both. He can do both. Like, if you're worried about a slot guy, if you're playing Dallas and CD Lamb's in the slot most of the time on high level, play him in the slot. And then if it's a more normal team that their best receivers are outside, play him outside.
Right. Does that complicate anything else, though, on the defense? I mean,
well, they're moving Quinion, so why can't you move Cooper? In the past, it has, you know, because again, if one moves, another, everybody else has to move. And then the second part, right now, the math equation has been for Vic, is Dorey Jackson or Kaylee Ringo better than Perry Nickerson or Mac McWilliams? And the answer is obvious. He thinks Dory and or Keeley are better than Perry or Mac. Change the equation, man. Make it matchup specific. Say, all right, this team, Puka, we're playing Puka Nacua. Cooper's got to play a lot in the slot.
Right.
We're playing Seattle. You know, Smith and Jigba's out there. Yeah, he's got to play more outside.
There's no world where they would just move Quinion and Coop each game to stay with the two best receivers, is there? You got a lot of
no. I mean, no. Well, but it if you play them outside, you do that by definition,
right?
You know, but most of the time, again, there's some rare guys who move inside a lot. CD being the most notable, where. You would have, if you're not going to move them back inside, then you'd have the big mismatch. I'm not saying do that. So, you know, if you're playing the Cowboys, well, it's a tough matchup to begin with because you have Pickens and you have CD. But, you know, whoever the third guy is, who's pretty good as well, whether it's going to be Turpin or Tolbert, you know, that's where. And it would be Perry or Mac McMillions or even Brandon Johnson. You know, that's tough duty, as Jonathan Gannon would say. But so what? You're better overall. You're better overall if you do it that way. Or you can keep Cooper in the slot where he's shutting down these middling receivers on these bad teams. And then have Keely or Adoree looking like, or Tariq Woolen looking like bad players against mediocre receivers.
Yeah. You're going to lose some in the run game too if you move Coop outside. He's great in there.
Yeah, he is. But again, you're not moving him outside. It's not, he's playing both. Utilize his versatility. Utilize his versatility. I'm not saying just put him outside. I'm saying make it matchup specific.
Yeah, I think I like what you're saying. I don't know if they'll do that, but I like it.
He can do both. He some guys don't want to do both. Micah Fitzpatrick being the most notable. They wanted to turn him. Other guys like Malcolm Jenkins, I talk about, you just saw one with Metellus. They embrace all the versatility. Embrace it. He embraces it. You embrace it. It's one of the rare times I don't agree with Vic. Embrace it. You got a chess piece. Move him around.
Yeah. Will you ask Vic about that today?
Sure. I'll ask him.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what to ask. I just didn't know if that's what was on your mind. Everybody's going to hit him with the Brandon Graham.
He's going to get a lot of Brandon.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, there's going to be a million people there, too, because of Brandon. So it's not like you get 50 questions. Yeah,
right. Normally, you can get a couple, yeah. You know, on Vic, but that might not
matter. Vic's better because his answers are short and to the point. So you get a lot of questions, whereas you might get five questions at a Nick Sirianni press conference because he's running out the clock. Vic just answers and moves on. Which is a good thing.